brought to us by Xfinity X1. Xfinity X1 brings you live stats and the latest scores right on your television. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. The great Jason Stark joins us. Jason, good morning.
Sir Anthony, how are you, sir?
Good, good, buddy. Did you know about that Big League Chew?
I missed that item. Tell me about it.
So it's like, it was gum that looked like tobacco, shredded bubble gum.
Sure.
But I didn't know that Jim Boughton, that he invented it.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, hey, I learned something new every day.
Joe Bell just told me about it. It's me. He knew him. So I was like, wow, that's cool.
Who knew? So that's think of the contributions to the culture that Jim Boughton has made.
Right.
Wrote Ball 4, invented Big League Chew.
Isn't that cool? That's all right, man.
What do you know?
That's all right. So, Jace, where do we start?
Yes.
I don't want to go down this road again with you. So.
Sure you do. Go ahead.
Who are you kidding?
That's what I'm here for. Just vent. Go ahead.
I know, but again, it's only, it's funny. The seventh inning is only the most important inning until the ninth inning comes and you can't get anybody out.
Yeah. They've got a 4.5 ERA after the seventh inning. And it's really interesting to watch the manager try to play the bullpen chess match. And I understand what he's up to, I understand the thinking behind it. The hard part is deciding you've got a guy who is basically Andrew Miller, who's your secret weapon. You can deploy him anytime you think you need to deploy him. Except behind him, you don't have that guy who can get you those last three outs. And so are you going to ask him to get every out? How is this going to work? They just don't have the answer to that question.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's kind of difficult not to notice. I still think if they have roles that are defined, that you have a better chance at maybe surviving and then using the kid in the ninth.
Yeah, look, a lot of our conversations this year and conversations I have with people on the streets and conversations I have with people at the park, it's coming back to this divide between new age thinking and old school thinking. And, we haven't seen anything like this in our town, correct? And that's really the root of it all, is we've come to think about baseball a certain way. And the guys running this team, front office and coaching staff, don't think about the game quite that way. Now, they're aware of that thinking, but they're messing around, experimenting with a whole different way of thinking. And it's a myth that new age thinking doesn't work, which is what people seem to assume here just all the time, that they're doing things that just don't work. They work. The Astros and the Cubs won the last two World Series. It proves they work with the right personnel.
Yeah, great players.
Yeah, but if the pieces don't fit in the puzzle you've decided to assemble,
I don't disagree with that, except there's two things at play. One, that whole ninth inning thing has been around forever. So that's not really new age thinking.
And
By that you mean...
The ninth inning is pitch your quote unquote closer or your best reliever in the ninth inning. It might not be the most important inning.
Correct.
All right. It's not always the most important inning, but when things blow up in the ninth inning, it casts a pall over your entire team.
No, I'm with you. I agree with that. My only point to you is that's not new age thinking. So Gabe not using Sir Anthony in the ninth inning isn't new age thinking, because I heard that 20 years ago.
Okay, the thinking may not be new. Actually acting upon the thinking, that's the part that's new. And it's been really hard for teams to do that. It's been hard for managers to do that. It's been hard for the guys actually sitting in the bullpen to accept that. It's been hard for the position players on your team to understand it when it doesn't work. That's where the be bold part comes in. You know, like Gabe thinks about the Philly special all the time, right? He does. And, you know, that's traditional thinkers would not have called that play on fourth down the Super Bowl. And he is not calling the plays that all the managers before him have played. And he thinks it's the same basic philosophy. We're finding out, right, whether some of this stuff works or not. We're finding it out on the fly. He's finding it out on the fly. Just the challenge is when you've got it all scripted out in your head and then it just veers off script, how do you react? What do you do? That's how Jake Thompson winds up in the game.
Well, that's the thing that's so frustrating to me is why does it have to be this? Like, there's a happy medium somewhere in between. Like,
yeah, he's actually been trying to find it, but yeah. It's so dramatic because
taking that one out in the fifth after five innings.
Didn't get that at all.
Like you know, I don't care that Williams got a hit and helped you win the game. You know, with the way this bullpen is, the way that kid was pitching, why are you taking him out?
It was scorching out there yesterday. And Aaron Nola was not himself, but that was a lot of outs to ask that bullpen to get after the number of outs they've gotten the day before and the number of outs they've gotten the last week.
And it comes just a couple of days after he said he was watching out for their arms.
And that's why I'm going, why are you taking Eflin out when he's finally dealing? You're in a dome? I mean, come on.
It's all interesting. I don't think you can see patterns here, right? There are times it's interesting that he will trust his gut. There are times he will go for the big inning, and he will go for that extra run, and times he is the opposite of that. I don't see the pattern. I don't know that he's managed enough to have a pattern yet. Now, I'm not, like, it's all thought out. There's no doubt about that, but the ripple effects are ominous and he knows that when you make a move, it leads to a series of other moves. And especially on this team, the way this bullpen is trending, any move that involves this bullpen getting as many outs as it's been asked to get lately, that's a dangerous roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Chase, Rhys Hoskins seems to have found some power and all. Do you see something different with him? Do you see him maybe making a turnaround and maybe what was bothering him earlier?
You know, it's a small sample size, but he obviously had a much better weekend. Yeah. He seems like he has much better rhythm in his swing. Just listen to him talk. He sounds like that time off, that week and a half of downtime, gave him a chance to think about stuff and make it. You know, he sounded like he thought he was overthinking, and I think he was too. I think it's hard not to when you're going through what he's going through, when you've got so much information that's being fed to you all the time, when the stuff you've done all your life isn't working the way it used to. We've gotten a taste of just what he means to that team, right? They're 10 over this year when he plays. They were 2-7 in the games he missed. He's got 10 home runs, and everyone has tied a game or given them the lead. There's no more important Philly than him, period.
All right, Jace, I'm talking to Jason Stark on the Comcast Business Hotline. The Wall Street Journal has a story that says Major League Baseball attendance down the 6.6% from this time last year.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that up until last week, their default response to that has been the weather has been brutal. Look, we live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We know the weather has been brutal this spring. But last week, Rob Manfred, after the owners' meetings, admitted there seems to be other stuff going on. And it's a concern of theirs. I don't know exactly what the explanation is, but they should certainly be paying attention. You know, sometimes I wonder, Anthony, when the commissioner is so analytical about what he thinks is wrong with the game, and that the messages that he sends might suggest to people there's not enough action. The games take too long. If you, you know, if your customers get that message, maybe they're thinking, well, why do I want to go to a baseball game? There's not enough action. It takes too long. He's speaking the truth because he wants to address it. But I just wonder how much of that is subliminal. Mm. It might be necessary, but it has impact.
Yeah, that's a great point that you bring up. I got one thing. I know this is so drastic, but do you think we talk about all about the game itself? The game is a great game. To me, the thing that's killed it or hurt it, I should say, just damaged it in the time that we live, is more the meaningless game. There's too many games and not enough playoffs. If you look at the formula that works for the NBA, it's like it's 82 games, but it's got 3 months worth of playoffs. Right?
So not quite three, but a lot. Yeah, there's quite a lot of playoffs.
I mean, the playoffs start in April and you're done in June.
I'm in June, yeah.
So you got, a healthy 10 weeks of playoffs. Now, do you think if you added playoffs, trimmed the regular season, and made games more important, that it would help the sport?
You know, I've been somebody who's been arguing for a shorter season, fewer games for a long time, for lots of reasons. That is one of them. I wrote a piece last week that just ignited enormous debate. It was about expansion because at some point they want to get to 32 teams. But it really wasn't about as much about, all right, where are they going to expand, as what would come with it. And it talked about a lot of ideas, and this is one of them. The best schedule math they can possibly come up with is 32 teams, 154 games. And if you go to 154 games, what does that allow you to do? Expand the postseason. You can expand it to 12 teams, so six in each league, so then you've got basically an NFL format. Or you could even go to eight teams in each league. You've got eight first-round series, probably best of three. But now you're the NHL, where half the teams make it, and do you want to go that route? But they've talked about this, and I can make a case for 154 games on a multitude of levels. Player health, they're paying $500 million a year.
Yeah.
The players who are not playing, they're hurt because the schedule is insane. And if you have a saner schedule, then you might have healthier players and fewer wasted dollars. And
Amen.
One of the ways you get to a saner schedule is fewer games. Another way is total realignment. Blow up the American League and National League structure, as we've always known it, and just go completely geographical realignment to help those teams in the West have somebody to play that's in their time zone.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
But that's a hard step to take. Judging by my Twitter feed, I don't know that fans are ready for that. But this is all stuff that they've talked about.
Yeah.
And when the commissioner talks about it, it's funny that fans conclude he hates baseball. He's just thinking aloud and igniting
the conversation, yeah. Let's have the conversation. Jason, great stuff as always, man. You are the best. Anything to look out for from you?
Anything to look out for?
There's always stuff, yes.
Always. Well, if people haven't read that piece I wrote on The Athletic about expansion, it's just, as I said, it's inspired a ton of debate, and I'll be happy to post a link to it again after this segment and let people...
Do it.
Weigh in.
Do
one
it.
More time.
Do That'd it, brother. Fun. That's awesome.
All right, pal.
Thanks, buddy.